Aloha! Welcome to Face, a radio ministry from Kalihi Union Church, where we are committed to loving God, loving people.
I want to know you face to face. Kneel at the throne of grace, for grace is making my heart brand new. Fill me with love and truth till I finally see.
Lord, thank you for this message. Help us to focus on what you want us to focus and to be obedient to that which you would want us to obey. So bless this time. Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say this loud. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that deserving of being loud and praiseworthy? Yes, it is. Because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. We live in a world that's filled with all kinds of things. We had a hurricane last week. In fact, I heard that the siren was blasting during this service. Is that what happened? And then I heard also, Pastor John Barrow, you talked about my bowl of head. That's okay. My mom tells me these things, so that's okay, Pastor John. So sorry. Thank you, Pastor John. That's just endearing. So, that to say that hurricanes happen, all kinds of things are happening in our lives. That hurricane was one. We are in the midst of COVID-19. And I mean, with the triple digit numbers, we're seeing those kind of spikes go up. We have high employment records. We have political divisions. We have all kinds of things going on. Maybe even in your life, personally, there's something going on. Maybe a loss of a loved one, as we have people in this church even. Maybe you're facing a sickness. Maybe you're going through a struggle or a difficulty. And those things are very real. Those things are happening all the time. And so what are we going to do in the midst of all this crazy that's going on? We are going to declare that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the answer to all of these things. And we know that Jesus is the answer. And so, even in knowing, I wanted to open up with the gospel presentation. Oftentimes, preachers or pastors, they'll put the gospel invitation at the end, but I wanted to open up with it because I want to highlight how the gospel is not just sharing about coming to Christ. But let's look at this. It's in your notes. If you have a notes page, I put it right there on the top. There's four different levels. And so everyone falls on one of these levels, one of these scales. And so the first level is the person who says, I am not a Christian. I am not yet a believer of Jesus Christ. You know what? Thank you if you are that for saying that, if you could say that. I have several people that I talk to, and when I talk to them and they say, I'm not a Christian, I don't say, well, you need Jesus, and shake them up. But I actually say, thank you. Thank you for being honest. And thank you. I want you to become a Christian. I want you to know Jesus. But you're being honest, and I appreciate that. And so there are some people who can say that I am not a believer of Jesus Christ, and that's where they're at. But level number two will be one in which we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. And when you do that, you become a Christ follower, a Christian. A Christian is a Christ follower, a person who has said, I will make Jesus my Savior, the one who saves me from my sin, so that I will be forever with God. You see, sin separates us from God. Any sin separates us. It could be a small little sin to the biggest heinous sin that was ever committed. Sin just divides us from a holy and righteous God. And so God puts us to play a part in that. And that part that we start off with is saying, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sin. And when I say sin that I've committed in the past, sin that I might commit even today, or sin that I might even commit in the future, just Jesus, cleanse me of all my sin and forgive me and help me to follow you, to make you my Lord. So Savior is the one who saves us. Lord is the one who is our master. He's the one that we will follow and be led by. That's why we call him Lord. And if you believe in your heart, if you confess with your mouth all of these things, then Jesus resides and you are a Christ follower. Level number three is for many of us here. I face level three. I'm going to level three all the time. And level three is one in which we are Christ followers, but we need that reminder of our identity in Christ. We need those moments in which we come to church, maybe not even feeling like coming, maybe, but you come and you're here, and there's something within either the worship or prayer or connecting with someone, maybe the message, whatever it is, that reminds you, encourages you, spurs you on to say that I am a Christ follower. And that's level number three. Then we have level number four, which is I am a dedicated Christian. And I am constantly asking, God, what do you want in my life? Lord, lead me right now. Lead me even right now. Where should I sit in the service, Lord? Lord, who should I talk to after service is done? Lord, where do you want me to go to eat so that I could share Jesus with whoever that is? You're just constantly in sync and close with God. And level number four is one in which you are spurred and motivated to press on and to be obedient to his call. Now, all of us, every single one of us is in one of these four levels. Every person. And our heart's desire is that we all level up. Even if you're in level four, you could always level up and be better. And so may we see these levels as ways in which we want to walk and face Jesus and draw close to him. Romans 10, chapter 10, verses 9 to 15, it covers all of these levels. So let's look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 15. It says this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Here's the passage. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The passage speaks for itself. I don't need to make points from there because it's so clear on where each of us are at. I just broke it down to levels, but the reality is God is speaking to us, each of us, to confess and believe, for each of us to know your identity and that you are not put to shame, that God sees you in a way that you will not be put to shame, and that everyone who calls on him will come to know him. And so our job is to be able to share this good news with as many people as we can. This passage prompted me to Google, so I Googled gospel prayer. I literally typed gospel prayer. And this is a prayer that popped up. It's a prayer, and at first, I was like, I'm kind of reserved on putting a prayer from a pastor that I don't really know. I'd rather have scripture. But as I read this prayer, I thought, wow, this prayer is actually very Christ-centered, and this prayer is actually pretty neat. And so I researched this guy, and his name is Pastor J.D. Greer from Summit Church in North Carolina. And in your notes is the prayer. So we're going to read this prayer. If you got notes, it's in your half sheet notes over here. And I'm sorry, it's small print. For us who are getting older, the small print gets harder. But we're going to read this prayer out loud. So it says, a gospel prayer by J.D. Greer. All right, on three, let's read it together. One, two, three. In Christ, there is nothing I can do that would make you love me more, and nothing I have done that makes you love me less. Your presence and approval are all I need for everlasting joy. As you have been to me, so I will be to others. As I pray, I'll measure your compassion by the cross and your power by the resurrection. It actually, it's such a neat prayer. And so I researched it a little more. And this is what this pastor has to say about this prayer. First of all, he wanted to apply the gospel into his daily life. And so what he did was he wrote down this prayer. And he says this: this isn't a magical prayer, and it's certainly not something I claim to have invented. But it came about a few years ago as I began to see how central the gospel is to all of Scripture and all of the Christian life. This was my way of applying the gospel in my daily life. And they say this at their church. They say, the gospel isn't just the diving board, but it's the pool itself. That's kind of neat. So he makes four key distinctions through this prayer. And the first one is that there is nothing that you have done, you or I have done, that could make Christ love me less. Nothing. And there's nothing that I could do that would make him love me more. His love is his love. And he loves us so big. He loves us unconditionally. Our God's love is amazing. The second is, Jesus is all that I need for everlasting joy. I don't need these things in the world. I don't need these things that we're trying to pursue. It's actually the only thing that will bring everlasting joy. Is Jesus himself. Third in this prayer, as Christ has been to me, so I will be to others. So if Christ has shown compassion to you, isn't our job to show compassion to others? If Christ has shown forgiveness to you, isn't it our job to forgive others? If Christ loves you and blesses you, isn't that our role to be able to do that to others? And lastly, from this prayer, he says, as I pray, I do according to the Lord's compassion he has shown at the cross. And this is the neat one. And the power he demonstrates through the resurrection. And so there's so much power in the resurrected Christ, our Lord. And the Holy Spirit fills us and dwells within us. And that same power is for you and I who are Christ followers. And it's not a power to claim for yourself. It's actually the power of God that moves in your life and in people all around you. And so I love this prayer in a way because it was all Christ-centered. It was all Christ-focused. And it helped to be able to be a reminder of who we are in Christ. And so I let that be in the notes so that we can go back to these reminders. We need these reminders. I was highlighting earlier the crazy things in this world, right? In fact, I want you to think. Think of five things in your own personal life that are hard, that you're facing, that are hardships or difficulties. Think of something. Five things. It could be actually in your own life or maybe even in your surrounding world or maybe within this world. So things like, I'm just named five myself, COVID-19. That's all around us. The passing of loved ones, people who you care for deeply, and just the memories and the sorrow of the loss. I think of crime that happens, even within our community. Every time I see the news and I hear Kalihi being connected to negative, I always claim, Jesus, make Kalihi known for righteousness. And that's the claim that I want to see happen. And I should be praying for that more, actually. But that's something that just hurts me. It's sad that we see Kalihi connected to all these negative things. Hardly ever positive things for Kalihi. I think of political divisions. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen with that. And all kinds of people's strong personalities. We also have just natural disasters, right? Things that happen to us. And Hurricane Douglas is, we're in hurricane season. And so those kind of things are going to happen. And I was looking at Texas and Mexico and how they also had hurricanes at the same exact time. And they're flooded and suffering, and it's just horrible to see those things. So I bring up these hardships because there is an answer. And a lot of us know what that answer is. That answer is everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, I'll add Jesus, will be saved. Jesus is the answer for all of these things. And we need that reminder, but I want to teach us a phrase, and that phrase is the urgency of the gospel. The urgency of the gospel. In other words, my simple definition of the urgency of the gospel is we need to share Christ now. Now is the time. And here's the reasons why. First of all, I highlighted all these things that we're facing. All of these things and more that are coming down the road we're going to be facing. And all the more that when we know that Jesus is the answer, all the more that we need to share that with people. People need the hope of Christ. And we have the answer. We have the cure even to be able to share that with others. And there has to be an urgency to do that. And here's another reason. It's because none of us know how long we're here for. The Bible describes our lives like a vapor. It's a mist that is here and gone. And what are you going to do in that moment of mist? What are you going to do in proclaiming the urgency of the gospel when you know that that's the answer? And also to say, on top of we don't know how long we have, Jesus could come again soon. And when he comes, that trumpet call is done. We are going to be glorifying and worshiping God. And we want as many people to join us as possible. And so there is an urgency of the gospel that needs to be lit within each and every one of us. And if you don't have that urgency, I would encourage you to spend time in prayer. First of all, maybe we'll go to phase one. Maybe you don't know Christ at all. And so the gospel, the urgency is for you yourself to know Jesus. But to those of us who are Christ followers, pray that God sparks a fire of urgency within you. That there is a world that is hurting. That there are people, even within your circle, that are hurting, that need to hear about Jesus. And so Scripture encourages us in that vein. It's interesting because Romans 10 comes from Isaiah. Isaiah is the quote from there. So we're going to look at Isaiah 52:7. Isaiah 52:7. So as you turn there, Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." And this is a powerful, great passage. In fact, this is the hinge passage for today. That Isaiah 52:7 basically is, in my mind, it's saying, just don't keep Jesus just to yourself. You have a job to proclaim him. I have a job. We as Christians have a job to proclaim him. And here are five ways in which they're done according to Isaiah 52:7. The first is this, and if you're following in your notes, this is the fill in the blanks. The first is, bring the good news to others. Bring the good news to others. I had the privilege to be able to visit Auntie Eileen the day before she passed. And actually, I went before because I love Eileen. We connect really well. She's always praying for me. And so I would go and visit her. And here's an interesting thing. When I would go and visit, you had to check in, right? So you go to the front desk and you say, "Oh, I'm here to visit Eileen Asato." Okay. And then this is what they would say. "Oh, Eileen, she's so nice. And she always talks about God. She always talks about God. Isn't that a great description for someone to describe you as? That you are the person who's nice and always talks about God. That just warmed my heart, knowing that this is her testimony. Because she would talk about God to anyone and everyone, everywhere. And that is sharing the good news. That to be able to share Jesus with others is so important. The second point is declare peace. Declare peace. So with Hurricane Douglas coming, I was listening to or reading Pastor Owen Tanoi. He was one of our pastors here at one time, Pastor Owen Tanoi. And he said this with the hurricane passing. He says, be warned and be careful. Don't buy into saying, oh, we were so lucky. Don't do that. Don't say we were lucky. And he further continues and says, you weren't lucky. It's God's mercy, God's grace, God's love, God's blessing to us. But don't say it's lucky that the hurricane passed us. In fact, if anything, I would read into that. I would say, thank you, Lord, for another day in which we can share about Jesus to others. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy in which we can proclaim your goodness. And so here we are in a place in which there is a hurricane, a whirlwind of chaos happening in our lives. And the only peace during the midst of that storm is Jesus. Jesus is our only peace. He's the only one who will calm the storms in our lives. And we need to share that with others. We need to acknowledge that Christ is peace. The third is share praises. Share praises. There are so many good things that God does all around us, all the time. Why hold back on the stories of God? So here's one that I'd like to share. This is from Mana Ministry. And so Mana Ministry, a guy comes up to me. I think he was homeless, and he says, oh, Pastor Kendall, should I look at my slippers? Oh, sorry, someone told me, say slippers. Should I look at my slippers? They're holy. And they weren't like holy, reverent holy. They were holy, like literally there were holes in the slippers. And so he's like, look at my slippers. Oh, can you get me some slippers? I don't have slippers here. And I actually started offering mine, but they were too big for his feet. And so he said, oh, don't worry, it's okay. And then as he's saying that, another guy comes up. Oh, you give me slippers. Oh, can I have a slipper too? I said, oh, sorry, man, I don't have slippers. And so I realized right then, Chuck was at Kamehameha Shopping Center. So I call up Chuck. Chuck, can you get me a slipper size 9, 10, 11, 12? Can you get these for me? So Chuck goes, yeah, okay. So he gets the slippers, brings it to me. By that time, we have Mana Ministry going in full effect. And Mana Ministry is our ministry in which we give bags of food every Thursday. Probably about 350 to 400 people came this past week. And by the way, we're taking a break, and so there's no Mana Ministry for the next month or so, but coming back. So Chuck brings me the slippers. I'm looking for the guys. I can't find them. And I finally decide to look out here, and they're right here at the bus stop. They're ready to go already. So I go outside. I find them. I say, guys, I got some slippers for you. And they were like, oh, and so I take it out. And guess what? It was the perfect size for both of these guys. Perfect size. They put it on, and they were like, whoa, this is exactly the size I need. At the same time, someone at the bus stop says, oh, you giving out slippers? Can I have one? And I say, oh, what size are you? I'm size 12. Hey, we got a size 12 right over here. And so I was able to give that one, and now I have one more slipper, right? So I'm walking back up, and I just see a random guy who comes to our church, and I said, hey, you need slippers? He goes, yeah, I need slippers. And so right there, here you go, blessings to you. All the while, these guys are just so grateful, right? Because that's what they needed, slippers. And here's God providing, and they're thanking me. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you, but praise God. And in my mind, I was very intentional. We say praise the Lord just as a flippant, kind of fast-paced saying sometimes. But this time, I was very intentional in thinking, you know what? The glory doesn't go to me. The glory doesn't go to Chuck. The glory doesn't go to any of it. The glory actually goes to God. So praise God. Praise God, because that's who's providing for you. And so these kind of stories are the stories that we need to share, Because it's all, when it comes to all about being God, isn't that just encouraging to know that God blesses and provides and understands and wants to see you through it? Kalo, I'm going to put you on spot right there. Kalo is the guy who always says amen. He's the guy back there. He's the guy, he called us this week as pastors saying, can you pray for me? I'm going in surgery this week. In fact, yesterday. You went to surgery yesterday. Friday. And here he is, praising the Lord. That's a testimony, not for Kealoha, but for the Lord. That Kealoha chooses to glorify God by coming to church after he got surgery. That all goes to God and his credit and his glory. And we need more stories like that. Number four, proclaim that Jesus saves. Proclaim that Jesus saves. Let's look at Romans 10 again. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? That's Romans 10. Here's my story for that. Connected to Mana again. I actually appreciate our Mana ministry. And what I appreciate is seeing everyone doing their roles. So you have Pastor John Barrow over here giving out tickets. You have Sarah Williams, who's at the check-in over there, making sure that, okay, we need five more, bring five more over here, bring 10 more. You have Jared, who's making sure that everything's orderly and going with the flow. He's the best logistics guy that I know of. You have all kinds of people who are doing their roles. And then, here's my favorite, and I put him on the spot as well. My favorite is Pastor Clive. And the reason why is because Pastor Clive, on a given Thursday Mana ministry, will stand right here at the pulpit while everyone is waiting for their bags of food. And sometimes people could wait for half an hour. And so they're just sitting here because we only could take so much, so many people. So here's Pastor Clive, always sharing from this book right here, God's Word. He, whether it's his sermon that he's preaching on, or whether he's opening it up to just share the gospel, or whatever passage he is sharing, he is being faithful to Romans 10 and sharing, preaching the good news. And that is our role. I don't say that, once again, to build up Pastor Clive. That is not my job to do that. But it is to point out that this is our role as Christians, according to God's word. To proclaim the good news at any opportunity that you have is the privilege, the blessing. In fact, I just realized, Pastor John Barrow and I, we should be, no, Clive, we want to do it. We should be wanting to do that as well. And so, thank you, Pastor Clive, but glory to God and praise God, and let's be people who share the good news. Point number five, and we're going to wrap up over here. Announce that God rules in everything. God rules. He's the ruler of everything. So whenever you drive on the freeway going eastbound over here and you pass KUC, I could predict a lot of you take a quick look at KUC. Hey, what's going on, KUC? Hey, what's going on? You, right when you're passing, right over here. And all of you know that there's a big banner right on the freeway that we put up there. And I realized we put up that banner in 2016. And that banner says Campaign Jesus. And the reason why I know it's 2016 is because that's when we started saying, you know, all political people in Hawaii especially, they put their signs out and wave, vote for me, vote for me. They put their signs out. But as a church connected with many other churches, we said during the political season, we're going to campaign Jesus. And we're going to hold signs for Jesus. And we did. And so that's when that banner went up, Campaign Jesus, and the big words of Jesus. And no matter who wins, whether the president seat or our mayor seat or whatever seats we're going for, and by the way, we should pray, we should be in prayer, and we should vote. But no matter who wins, who's the ruler? Who is the one who sits on the throne? Who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Who is our master and our Lord? It's Jesus. And if Jesus is our one who we say is our ruler, then we can trust him. He is a good ruler. He is a blessed ruler who wants all the best for every single person. And we need to trust that He will rule everything. And when we trust that, we can proclaim that. And so these are five ways in which you and I today can proclaim the good news of who Christ is in our lives. And that is the gospel. And that is what He beautifully sends us out to be. I find it also such a blessing that today is Communion Sunday. Because as we partake in communion right now, what I want this time to be is a time of reflection. And so communion is for all believers to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is our time in which we remember the sacrifice of what Jesus has done. His broken body is represented in the bread, and the cup represents His blood shed for all sin. And so when we partake of that regularly, we are reminding ourselves of the great sacrifice of what Christ has done. And we're also reminded, because the story doesn't end there, that He is the resurrected Lord. That He did not stay on the cross. His power is 100% complete because of who He is. And we can come before Him, surrender to Him. And so when you take communion, it's your time to remember what Christ has done, but also to repent, to be cleansed, to be renewed, to be restored, whatever those things are that draws you close to Christ. That's what we're going to be doing now. So here are some instructions. If you have not received the communion cup, then you could raise your hand and an usher will bring you a communion cup. So if you did not receive a communion cup, these are our disposable I don't know how to call these cups. And so for those of you who have not taken it yet, there's two flaps. The first flap is a clear flap, and that clear flap opens up the wafer. The second flap opens up the cup of juice. And so just open the first flap first for the wafer, and then I'll lead us in a time. So when I read scripture, and then there's going to be a moment of silence, and in that moment of silence, spend that time with the Lord, you and yourself. And in doing that, just remember what Christ has done and be renewed in who Christ is to you. So let's hear from God's word as we partake of communion. For I received from the Lord, this is from 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So you may peel back your first layer and partake of the communion wafer. Amen. Continuing this passage. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You may partake of the communion cup. I continue on reading Luke 22:19-20, and it says this: "And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and He gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.' Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for all that you are and all that you have done. Thank you that the gospel is so clear that you have died for our sins, that if we confess and believe, you change and transform us, and you make us as if we have never sinned in your eyes. Thank you, Lord, that you promise hope to each of us that have done that, a hope that is eternal and everlasting, a hope that presses us on through any hardship and valley and low that we are going through. We can know that you will be there and you will encourage and bless us. You'll guide us and lead us. You'll provide for us and give us strength, even boldness, to be able to face these things. And when we go through these high mountaintops and we see the beauty so magnificent of who you are, we declare your praises and we exalt you, and we can say thank you, Lord, and praise to your name in the loudest voices and expressions that we can give. And through all of this, Jesus is Lord. That we can boldly say, everyone who has called on your name, that we are saved. And we want to go forth and be able to share that good news with others, because they too need to be saved. So help us, O God. Bless us. Stir us this day. That this is a day in which we are changed and transformed for your glory, that we will go forth in your name. We bless you, we thank you, we praise you and exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining Face to Face, a radio ministry of Kalihi Union Church. Connect with us at kalihiunion.org or 841-7022. Come join us. We are committed to loving God, loving people.
It's making my heart brand new.